All right. I was about to say Thursday night. I don't know why, but Saturday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. 4, 3, 56 minutes of fury. Hope everybody's ready. Let's get this done. I'm going to get in as many slides as I possibly can get in. It is my goal. Benny Johnson tweet. It just disappeared. Breaking: DOJ will not prosecute AG Garland. What a shock, huh? What a shock that you've had a congressional referral for prosecution for AG Garland, and you know what? They're not going to prosecute him for contempt of Congress. What a shock, because he won't release the Robert Hur, Joe Biden audio tape to Congress, which, of course, remember, once you've released the transcript, which they have, although it was, of course, the transcript was changed and was changed by the Biden administration, was adapted by the Biden administration, edited by the Biden administration. But they did release the transcript, and by law, once you release a transcript of anything, you have no executive, i.e. presidential immunity. So he has absolutely no legal ground to stand on, which right now, there's nothing we can do about it. We don't own the DOJ. But when we do, about, June, so July, August, September, October, November, December, in about 6.5 months when we do own the DOJ, really it's about 6 months exactly, when we own the DOJ, Merrick Garland must be referred for prosecution. There is no ambiguity with this. There is no moving on. He must be referred for prosecution to whoever the attorney general acting. I hope the acting attorney general at that time is Mike Davis. It may be somebody else. I hope, if it's not Mike Davis, then I hope it's Ken Paxton. I hope it's Andrew Bailey out of Missouri, one of those people. But who's ever the AG, they need to prosecute Merrick Garland on that day. People be like, that's the first time that's ever happened. Well, yeah, you know what? It's the first time that a president's ever had his house raided or ever been charged with felonies either. And I refuse to call him what they want us to call him, a convicted felon, all that, because those felony charges have never been brought against the soul. I mean, again, you know, if you get charged and convicted and tried for a felony that has never existed before, I don't think it really counts that you're now a convicted felon for felonies that were just manifested out of thin air by Soros bought and paid for AGs and line attorneys and members of the DOJ, i.e. Matthew Colangelo. All right, let's go to the next one. Ultra MAGA party video. Now, here's the thing. Yes, the DOJ, who is run by Merrick Garland and run by collusion hoaxer Lisa Monaco, are not going to. So the DOJ run by Merrick Garland is not going to prosecute Merrick Garland, although there's no reason for them not to. That's not the only thing that could be done. And we put down as the title of tonight's show, some Republicans are taking action. Here is one of them. This is Anna Paulina Luna out of South Florida. Ultra MAGA party video. Garland's arrest. Play for me.
For those that might not be tracking, there's actually two types of contempt of Congress. There's criminal contempt, which is referred to the Department of Justice, which is what we just voted on. And then there's inherent contempt. And obviously, I do not have faith in the Department of Justice. I don't think the American people do either. Look at the two-tier justice system that we're seeing play out in this country. And so what I've done is I've actually filed a privilege motion, meaning I can bring this to the floor and call it up myself. It doesn't have to go through committee or through leadership. And ultimately, is there something called inherent contempt? It hasn't been done since the early 1900s, but that would basically give Congress the authority to go and get Garland and compel him to force what we are asking, which is for those recordings. You know, Garland is not above the law. The Department of Justice is not above the law. And unless we really turn this around, we're going to lose this country. And so I'm trying to bring up that vote. I will be serving my colleagues with a letter here on Monday. And if the Department of Justice doesn't do their job, we'll do it for them.
So there are other means to bring him to justice. It can be through a congressional proceeding. So that's what needs to happen. And then, like the Democrats love to say, that nobody's above the law. Well, I guess that even the chief law enforcement officer of the United States is not above the law. Now, what should happen with this is this should go through the DOJ to other people. Of course, they're all going to be working for Garland, but it still should go through that. We should know for at least a couple months whether or not they're going to prosecute Merrick Garland, because this should go through actually an independent prosecutor, of course.
Yeah.
But it's not happening, because who controls independent prosecutors? You look at all these other things that are going on, whether it's Jack Smith, that's controlled by the DOJ. Whether, you know, these special prosecutors, David Weiss, another special prosecutor, Robert Hur, another special prosecutor, all are controlled by the DOJ, which is why we never see the results that we want to see, is because they're actually controlled by the Biden administration. So anything against Trump always comes to fruition. Anything against Biden doesn't. And these are the same clowns saying, you know what, nobody's above the law. And again, whenever they say something, it's exactly the opposite. When they say nobody's above the law, what they're saying is, I am above the law.
Right.
That's how it is. All right, so this is a great thing. This is what has to happen. Now, for the people that are watching this podcast right now, this is no problem for us. But for a lot of other Republicans, or what are called conservatives, they consider it to be an attribute to move along, or let bygones be bygones, or move along to get along, whatever it may be, let things go. You can't do that. It's not a matter of just like letting things go, like for forgiveness sake. Like you just forgive somebody because that person's not going to do it again. You don't allow somebody, you don't loan money to somebody who is now stolen from you 10 times. And on the 11th time, you loan them money again. You don't, that is not what you do. And this is the retribution that I'm talking about. This retribution has to take place so that we don't keep getting prosecuted. Otherwise, it won't matter who it is, no matter who runs for president. Once they learn that these tactics work and they are never forced to swallow Ipecac themselves, they're going to do it over and over and over again. So what Ana Paulina Luna is doing is correct. Make them eat it. Well, you know what? These just takes up so many, you know, it costs so many tax dollars, and you know, they need to be doing other things. What else does Congress need to be doing? I mean, does Congress ever help you? What else do they really need to be doing except to protect our civil rights? I don't want them to do anything else.
Yep.
They've already spent $35 trillion worth of printed monopoly money. I don't need any of that. I don't need any more of it. I don't need any more sex changes on goldfish. I don't need any of it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I don't need any more frogs being made homosexual. I don't need anything anymore from the federal freaking government. I don't need any more wars. I don't need them to spend hundreds of billions of dollars funneled through NGOs at the border so they can sex traffic children and labor traffic children. I don't need any of that.
Yep.
Sex trafficking children, filling this country full of 15 million illegals doesn't do anything for you and me. We don't need them to be doing anything. Prosecute our enemies. That's what we need. Prosecute our enemies. We don't even need you to build roads and fix bridges. Let's just go federal and everybody build their own roads and fix their own bridges. Enough of this federal government that's in place that never should have been in place to begin with. And now $35 trillion worth of debt, and adding $1 trillion worth of debt every 100 days. We don't need anything more from them. All we need for them to do is get out of our way. Leave us alone. Go away, FBI. Go away, DHS. Go away, HHS. Go away, Department of Education. Go away, Department of Transportation. What's Pete Buttigieg ever done for you out of the Department of Transportation? Nothing. What's the FBI ever done for you? Nothing. What's the CIA ever done for you? Nothing. What's the ATF ever done for you? Nothing. Let's get out of my life and let all these people be prosecuted for their criminal acts, i.e. Merrick Garland, who's perjured himself numerous times also. All right, Representative Andy Biggs, he's another one that's actually doing something. I'm taking over the George Santos bill. Believe it or not, it is the George Santos. When the idiot Republicans kicked their own Republican congressman out for lying about things. We're gonna kick out liars. We're going to kick out liars off of Capitol Hill. We're going to kick out liars out of Congress. The Democrats kick out any lies. Well, we need to be above board. You're in the wrong battle. Go away.
Yeah.
Go away. You're in the wrong battle. You're a COVID caving, I'm sure a COVID caving, five times vaccinated conservative, a Mitt Romney conservative. We need to be above board. No. You're in the wrong battle. You're taking a knife to a gunfight. You're taking a fist to a gunfight.
Yeah.
You don't kick out your own members because they lied about things while they were running for Congress out of New York. He actually won a seat out of New York City and kicked them out. And immediately his seat was taken over by, can anybody guess? Oh, that'd be a Democrat took it over.
Yep.
Bunch of stupid idiots. And George Santos voted 100% for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
100%. You're like, Tom, are you standing up for his character? No, I'm not his character witness. He's not a great person. But you know, you don't kick him out. He's going to vote for us. You can vote him out later. Run a candidate, primary him. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Democrats never do it. Listen, Gold Bar Bob Melendez is still a senator right now.
Yeah, it's true.
He's found with gold bars up his shirt sleeves. He's still a senator right now for the Democratic Party. So Andrew Biggs says George Santos put out a bill to revoke security clearances from the 51 lying intel officials who said that the Russian, that the Hunter Biden laptop had earmarks of Russian disinformation or Russian psyop. Remember those idiots? And then Hunter sues to, while that's still out, Hunter sues to get his laptop back.
Yeah.
Under oath, swearing, putting on an affidavit that he wants to get his laptop back. And of course, it just came out in his criminal trial that the FBI had to testify under freaking oath that it was his laptop, and they knew the entire time it was his laptop.
Yeah.
So George Santos, the guy that Republicans idiotically, talking about IA or AI, asinine idiocy, kicked out of Congress, he was actually putting together a bill to revoke the security clearances of 51 lying intel officials who claimed that the Hunter Biden laptop was just Russian disinformation, including five former heads of the CIA.
Ooh.
Whoa, wow. Leon Panetta. Woohoo. Wow. Lion Leon, who's run both the CIA, and Aaron told me the other day, and also ran the DOD.
Yep.
This is all just one giant symbiote. That's all that it is. And you and I are not part of it. All they want to do is lie, cheat, and steal from us. The thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the Democratic Party run by the devil. So here's Andy Biggs. Play for me.
We're going to have to hold people accountable again. You know, take away money, that type of thing, the Holman rule, all those things, those tools that are available. Just compare it to this, though, Dan. I just took the George Santos bill to take away the classification, the security clearance of the 51 IC people.
Yes, thank you.
Who basically, not basically, they totally lied. And they say now, some of them are saying, we have no regrets. We have absolutely no regrets.
Oh, I heard that. Hi, Andy, you know we were at the center of that. We aired the contents in the summer of 2020. And then they called this network Russian disinformation when those 51 lying SOBs put the letter out. By the way, I want everybody to remember, Antony Blinken is the one that wrangled the other 50 to sign the letter. And how was Antony Blinken rewarded? Joe Biden made him Secretary of State.
Yeah, Leon Panetta came out and said didn't have any regrets about calling it Russian disinformation. And then they called that news outlet Russian disinformation. They actually said that they were purveyors of Russian disinformation. Go, Aaron, what do you got?
It was OWN.
Oh, it was OWN. Yeah, okay, yep. One American News, I wanted to make sure. So they actually said not only are these 51 former intel chiefs or intel officers sticking by their story after the FBI testified that it wasn't. Get this now. Where are the retractions? Where's Leon Panetta calling a press conference and saying, you know what, those vaunted three words? I was wrong. Where are all the press conferences? Where are all these former intel chiefs? John Brennan, why is John Brennan not calling a press conference and saying, I was wrong for saying that was Russian disinformation, or had earmarks of Russian disinformation, after the FBI in the Hunter Biden criminal trial for unlawful gun possession had to testify in open court that it was Hunter Biden's laptop and they knew it from day one? So there you go. I mean, it's truly amazing. Now, I love these things hopping all over the place in the start of the show. I love these side-by-sides. Put that up for me. Fact sheet here. On January 5th, 2021, under Trump, President Trump, on January 5th of 2021, the day before the vaunted insurrection, where nobody had one firearm. There's not been one gun charge yet, but this was an insurrection. So we're going to overthrow the Marine Corps with flags and 80-year-old women. President Trump, the day before, requested 10,000. He requested 10,000 National Guard troops be assigned to the Capitol due to the anticipated crowd size at January 6th. The reason why I'm putting this up is I want everybody to know the specific dates. On January 5th, he said, I am requesting 10,000 National Guard troops. Speaker Pelosi denied the request. And now we've all seen the videotape where she's going, after she denied the request, saying, where are they? Where are they? And then, I mean, it's amazing. It's absolutely a nonsensical statement. You know why it's a nonsensical statement? Because, first of all, she's doing it on purpose. She caused the entire 1-6 event to occur on purpose. She had four calls from Ray Epps to her office prior to 1-6.
Yep.
Ray Epps, who did the initial Capitol breach, strangely called her office four times prior to 1-6. So she caused it, and then she's in the car saying, where is the National Guard? That you turned them down on January 5th, Nancy.
Yeah.
And while Chief Stephen Sund was calling you for 71 minutes straight on January 6th to call the National Guard, who could have been scrambled in within hours, you never answered his phone call.
Yep.
For 71 minutes. And they all want to talk about, why didn't Donald Trump tell everybody to go home sooner? For 71 minutes, Nancy Pelosi refused the call of the Capitol Hill police chief. When there's this violent insurrection going on, who would turn down a call from the Capitol Hill police chief?
Yeah.
Speaker Pelosi denied the request and even stood down officers in many areas of the Capitol. Had she acted properly, the events of January 6th would not have occurred. There you go. I just want everybody to know the dates and times and the facts. Moving on to fraudulent elections. Josh Dunlap video, the official results of Arizona Senate 2020 election audit. Play for me, Will.
Earlier today and last night, the key takeaways from the hearing today, looking at my notes, there were more than 255,000 early votes shown in the county's final vote that did not have a corresponding early voting entry, meaning they didn't have that record, but yet there was 255,000 ballots. That is a lot of ballots. There were also over 23,000 who voted by mail after moving, after the cutoff, so they no longer lived in the state or in the county. There were 23,000 voters who had cast double votes. There were 9,000 more mail-in ballots were received and recorded than the official number of mail-in ballots. There's a large discrepancy, more than 255,000 in discrepancy, and you talked about the 50,000 that was leaked in the report last night saying that there could potentially be these fraudulent ballots. We also know that the machines were connected to the internet, contrary to what the county was saying before the audit, saying that they weren't connected to the internet. We've learned conclusively that they were, and not only were they connected to the internet, but there was also remote access available to the EMS system, the election management system that was used. So there's a lot of discrepancies. There's a lot of explaining to do. And I want to point out the fact that the audit did not say that Joe Biden won. That is a leftist spin that's putting on it. The part that confirmed the hand recount is the same thing as counting potentially fraudulent ballots. It's the same thing we saw in Georgia right after the election. We saw a lot of people concerned saying, why are they doing a recount of the same fraudulent ballots to get the same fraudulent results? Well, it was part of the investigation, and they did that. So that's the explanation of where that count comes from. And they say the counts do match. They are close. However, there is a lot of indications of fraud. And so that's the discrepancy. That's the spin on the misinformation. So we need to see what comes of it. But there was a lot of information that came out today.
A lot of people would say, just stop litigating the 2020 election. Okay, then prepare to lose 2024 then.
Yep. Exactly.
And then prepare to lose 2026. And I don't care whether you're a DeSantis guy or Trump guy or anybody else, prepare to lose 2028 then. If you don't fix it now, this has to be, listen, again, I go back to what I said a minute ago. Realize, I want Congress to be out doing the American people's business. We don't need them to spend any more money or pass any more programs.
Exactly.
We need them to litigate these things so that they get fixed. Prosecute and litigate. Prosecute and litigate. Prosecute, litigate, and fire. That's what has to happen, folks, or we will never win an election again that has any sort of importance. We will never win another Latin national election again. Now, when we take over, when we own more of Congress and more of the Senate, we already own the Supreme Court, and we own the DOJ. Listen, people might not like it. You've got to go back to 2020. You have to litigate 2020. You're like, Tom, it's 2024. It's all felonies, folks. They've got plenty of statute of limitations on, plenty of time left in the statute of limitations. We have got to go back and litigate and get to the bottom of 2020, or you will never win again. We lost in 2022. Supposed to be a red wave and we gain like 2 seats. And that really never happens, by the way. When you're dealing with the first election inside of a new presidency, I don't even like to call Biden president because the fraudulent election elected him. He's a false occupier of the Oval Office. But anyway, fraudulent occupier of the Oval Office. But they always lose their first election after becoming president. Their party always loses. We didn't gain a thing. We didn't gain hardly, and we gained a little bit, but we were supposed to be this giant red wave. And by the way, that would have happened if it wasn't mass voter fraud again.
Exactly.
You have to litigate. Listen to the numbers out of Arizona. This was the 2020 election that, remember, Donald Trump lost Arizona. He lost Arizona. And every bit of fraud here benefited Joe Biden. Not one bit of this fraud benefited Donald Trump. Every bit of the fraud, whether it's the 66,000 illegal ballots in Georgia in a state that Donald Trump lost by 11,000 votes, and basically all 66,000 went to Joe Biden. Listen, if it was 66,000 fraudulent votes, and out of those 66,000, 38,000 went to Biden, and then basically half and half, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But when all the fraud benefits one candidate,
right,
and every single fraud story that ever comes out is always Democrat, you had better litigate it or you will never win again. Well, it's time for bygones to be bygones. Let go and let God. No, listen, you've got to litigate. You'll never win again.
Yeah.
Because he's just telling the Democrats they can do whatever they want and nobody's going to make them suffer the consequences of breaking the law. Listen to the numbers here. 255,000 votes in a state that isn't that large. 255,000 early votes with no record. You can't early vote with no record, folks. There's no way to early vote without, you have to send in the record to get the early vote.
Yep.
So all these votes, there's no record of the person sending in an early vote application. So the early votes were not early voted. They were voted on the day of the election and put down as early votes.
Yeah.
And they weren't people that are actually voting. They were just manifested ballots. These are ballots that are made up out of thin air with corrupt voter rolls. The dead people, and dead people is a small portion of it. They just manifest the name. They're P.O. boxes, and they're fake people and former residents because they don't ever refresh their voter rolls. So you have 975,000 people that have moved out of the state, and they just take a chunk of them and put them on these fake early votes with no record because the person who no longer lives in the state can't send in an application for the early vote. It's just like all the dip squats out there that say, you know what? I know more people voted in the state than are registered to vote. It's just great turnout.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. You have to register 30 days prior to the election.
Right.
Yep.
So there can't be a giant turnout. There can be no turnout above registered voters.
Yep. Right.
But in basically every area that Joe Biden won, more people voted than were registered to vote. And we're not just going to leave it? We're all just going to leave it and expect to win? 23,000 voted by mail after they moved. That's illegal. That's actually a felony.
Yeah. Yeah.
23,000 people voted twice? I'll bet you there's 46,000 votes for Joe Biden then.
Yeah.
Ain't none of them going to Trump. 9,000 more mail-in ballots received and recorded than official number of mail-in ballots. Again, you have to put in an application to get a mail-in ballot.
Yes.
So there should be the exact amount of applications is the exact amount of mail-in ballots that come in, but 9,000 more showed up.
Yeah.
It's impossible. That's nothing more than somebody sitting at a desk punching ballots, making ballots out of whole cloth.
Yep.
50,000 counterfeit ballots that all went to Joe Biden. And we're not going to fix this? We're going to win Arizona? If you want to just move on, you're not going to move on. That's why they had to have a fraudulent election in 2022 using fraudulent, but his name's Bill Gates, not Bill Gates from Microsoft or the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, not Vax Bill. Bill Gates is a guy who rubs the Republican Party, the Republican voting machine inside of Maricopa County, where lo and behold, the Republican machines all broke down the day of the election. They just all broke down so people couldn't vote. It's weird. Oh, no Democratic sectors, only heavy Republican districts. Oh, machines just mysteriously broke down. Machines that weren't even properly certified. That's why they had to have Abe Hamadeh get defeated for the state AG. That's why they had to have Kerry Lake defeated. They were going to win. Abe Hamadeh's down by 200 votes right now to this day. 200 votes. 200 with this system in place. Run by alleged Republican, just like... you didn't understand all this. The people like Brad Raffensperger and Bill Gates out of Arizona, they are they're registered Republicans, but they're not Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
There are no registered Democrats that are not actual Democrats. many registered Republicans, they're not controlled opposition. They are simply opposition. There are many registered Republicans that are actually Democrats. Let's move to the border. Speaking of Arizona, but this isn't the Arizona border. RNC research video, and I keep putting these out. I told you I could put these out for 3 hours straight. Here we go again. An illegal alien has been arrested in the murder, and you got all of Rachel Moore. Now you got all these dip squat Democrats that are always out there saying, you're more likely to be killed by an American than an illegal alien. If the illegal alien's not here, then the illegal alien can't kill anybody. I don't care what the percentage are. Of course, you're more likely to be killed by an American because there's over 300 million Americans here in comparison to illegal aliens, which there's way more illegal aliens than people think. People think our population is 330 million. No, we're well over 400 million because we were 330 million in 2006, folks. Yep. That was the 2006 census. And Joe Biden has allowed in 17 million illegal aliens so far in his administration. You think we still have 330 million people living here? We don't.
Right.
It's way above 400 million now. So, of course, you're more likely when 2/3 of the population is still Native American. Of course, you're more likely. But you know what? There wouldn't be any immigrant crime. Say the immigrant crime takes up 10% of all crime. Well, that 10% would no longer be there if it wasn't for immigrant crime. And go up to the family of the victim and say, you know what? You know what? It's really okay because you know what? You know, your kid was more likely to die from an American, you know, so you're just unlucky. But that will work. That'll help to assuage their pain and sorrow, right? Morons. RNC research video. Illegal alien has been arrested in the murder of Rachel Moore, a Maryland mother of five. Play it for me, Will.
Just before midnight our time, police in Tulsa, Oklahoma, assisted by our federal partners, located and arrested Rachel's murderer, Victor Antonio Martinez Hernandez. So far, we have learned that the suspect, now pictured on the screens, is a 23-year-old citizen of El Salvador who illegally crossed the border into the United States in February of 2023. We all suspected that perhaps Rachel was not his first victim, and it's my understanding that this suspect, this monster, fled to the United States illegally after committing the brutal murder of a young woman in El Salvador a month early in January of 2023. Once in our country and likely emboldened by his anonymity, he brutally attacked a 9-year-old girl and her mother during a home invasion in March of 2023 in Los Angeles. And as everyone I believe is aware, that was our first DNA match linking Rachel's case to the Los Angeles case. It has been a fear of mine that once we identified this suspect, the result would be exactly...
Let's delve deep into this for just a minute here. So in January of 2023, this illegal alien murdered a little girl in his own country of El Salvador. Then he was vetted by Alejandro Mayorkas, the DHS secretary, and allowed into our country on February 23. Remember, our border is secure. That's what DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says, Kamala Harris says, Joe Biden says, and the Democratic Party says. Now you had the DHS Inspector General come out with a list of violations at the border where their vetting system is not only bad, but galactically horrible.
Yeah.
And that's why this man was allowed in with a prior murder record. Allowed into our country to murder again. Go to the next one for me. Here's another one. Alejandro Mayorkas. No, that's not it. There you go. This is Jose Francisco, Martinez. I'll skip the middle name. An illegal from Honduras. He was just arrested in Texas for first-degree murder of a 23-year-old man. These are the asylum seekers, quote-unquote, just looking for refuge in our country. Where are all the women? Where are all the children? They're all military-age men. Basically, maybe 3 to 4 out of 100 that cross through that southern border are actually women and babies and young children. 100,000 military-age men, CCP members of Cross Border. Tom, you don't know they're CCP members or PLA members. Do you know that they're not? These awesome vetting procedures could tell you whether or not they're a member of the PLA or the CCP.
Right.
And it's not just the southern border. Let's go to the northern border. I bet you everybody thinks the northern border is secure, don't you? It's got to be a giant wall up there keeping the Canadians out. Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, the problem is that the Canadians that are the problem. It's who Justin Trudeau is now sending through the northern border. Because they've been inundated with a lot of illegal alien traffic also that he's now going to allow to cross through the northern border because he doesn't want them either.
Yep.
Ben Berquam video. More from the northern border in Vermont. Play for me, Will.
Made it up here to Canada. This is the border. Actually, that corner there is Canada. This road right here is America. And I was talking, you see the marker here. This whole area here, I got some intel from a friend of mine, Roy Boyd, and they came up here and they just couldn't believe it. If you go down to the end, I'm gonna go down to the end of this road here in a minute. There's nothing. So I just spoke to Border Patrol down the way. Obviously can't come on camera with this Biden regime. But he said they've had to put these blocks in, these barriers, because there's so many illegals coming from Canada, coming down this road, driving through this cornfield and onto this road and out. And so this entire cornfield down to that tree line where the woods are and down this way, they've had to put these barriers in. But other than that, there's nothing. And if you go just past that telephone pole right there, there's nothing. So nothing down that way, and we'll drive. I just came up from this way. There's absolutely nothing. I mean, when you go to the southern border, you know, there's areas where there's wall. Here, there is absolutely nothing. So if you're an illegal, you're coming across, there's nothing stopping you from coming to the United States other than Border Patrol. And there are so few Border Patrol. I've driven from Maine all the way. We're almost to New York again. We're on the northern border. We're in Vermont, but we're almost to New York. And I've seen 3 Border Patrol. And we've stayed as tight to the border as we could all the way from Maine down here. I've seen 3 Border Patrol. So you're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles with no Border Patrol, no barriers. This is the first one I've seen. Everywhere else is just wide open.
So Ben Berquam's going up and down the northern border, and he goes to 2-3 states and sees 3 CBP agents. See 3 Custom and Border Patrol officers in 2-3 states. That's as many as you got at the border. And here, that's our northern border, just so everybody knows. So when you have all of the illegals coming from Arab countries, coming from Eastern European countries, coming from, you know that, lay this up for me until you take it down. You know that Justin Trudeau loves the CCP. They do their winter training in Canada, or have done their winter training in Canada. He loves the CCP. He said that his model for governance is China, is the Chinese Communist Party. He loves China. Yep. He loves tyrannical dictatorships because then they can do whatever they want. Surprising, because he is a tyrannical dictator. But anyway, so that guy now who doesn't want all of the criminals and insane asylum occupants living in his country is now sending him through the northern border. It's not just our southern border. It's our northern border too, because really our northern border is a smaller southern border, because we are getting Canada's illegal aliens.
Yep.
The people that they are quote unquote taking in from the Middle East, quote unquote taking in from Ukraine, quote unquote taking in from whoever and from wherever. And that is the wall that's holding them back right there, with basically 1 CBP agent per state. Jeez. Guarding our northern border.
Wow.
And I just remember flying into Vancouver for a ski trip, because everything is just visual. Everything is semantics. Everything is a false portrait. You fly in there, you try to cross the Canadian border, there's like a Canadian Mountie sitting up like on a tower looking down on you. Why are you coming into Canada? You have to give a verbal explanation. You got your passport, got your skis and your ski poles. Why are you coming into Canada? Why I could just walk in right there.
Yeah.
Why even have all these semantics? Why have all this symbolism and no substance?
Yeah.
It's all symbolic. It means nothing. Why have your tower? Can I just walk in right there? Now, if Aaron or Will or I tried to fly into this country from a foreign country, they stop us, they search us, they basically strip search you, whether you know it or not, through their machines. Well, why don't we just fly? Why don't we just walk through the southern border and not face any of those consequences?
Yep.
We'll all put on a bunch of sombreros and walk in.
Hold on.
Yeah, we'll just, I'll be like Jose and Aaron will be Juan. We'll just walk in. We don't even need to change our last names. Just walk right in. Be Juan Yeager, Pedro Gilbert. You want to just walk in?
That's funny.
What's the point? Have you been having any, what's the point? I've seen people at the church and the circle of churches that I'm a part of that are Canadians, and they so much want to get a green card and live in America, and it's really hard for them to do so. I tell them all, we'll just walk through the southern border then. You get a court date for 8 years from when you walk in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's from any country in the world. And even this, and I don't want to delve too far in this, I only got 21 minutes left, but the only, remember Joe Biden's border security bill put out by cuckboy James Lankford from Oklahoma Republican senator? The only thing, remember they allowed 5,000 illegals in per day? That 5,000 only counted Canadians and Mexicans. So they're actually trying to keep Canadians out. Why? If anything, what we need more than anything are conservative Canadians to come down.
Yeah, for real.
We don't need any more socialist, communist, CCP members crossing into the country. Let's go to the next one. Just had to put this in here. Guilty pleasure of mine here. Jill Biden's ex-husband accuses her of affair with Joe in the 70s. So that's the New York Post reporting in 2020. Go to the next one for me, Will. Here's Laura Loomer's tweet from yesterday. Joe Biden's own ex-husband, Bill Stevenson, has gone on the record because, remember, they met on a blind date. Everything Joe Biden says is a lie. Everything that he says about his official duties is a lie. Everything he says about what he's accomplished is a lie. Everything he says is a problem is a lie. Everything he says is good is a lie.
Yep.
He said he met Jill Biden, never met her before. They were set up on a blind date after Jill. So they were set up on a blind date after Jill and her husband worked on his campaign. How were they set up on a blind date after meeting hundreds of times?
Weird.
All eyes, as usual. Joe Biden's own ex-husband, Bill Stevenson, has gone on the record to say that his ex-wife first began her affair with Joe Biden while he was still married to his first wife, Nellie. So this is all new. This is all new, everybody. Wow. Joe Biden was still married to, what do you think, Aaron? Nellie? I'm going to go with Nellie.
Yeah, Nellie.
His first wife. That I never knew. I knew Joe Biden was an adulterer. Well, Joe Biden was committing adultery with Jill, but I thought Jill was the only one that was married. And he was still married to his original wife, who died in a car accident while the affair was ongoing.
Oops.
Whoopsie daisy. You mean Scranton Joe? Scranton Workaday Joe was having an affair with a campaign worker 20 years younger than him? Yeah. Joe Biden was working with Joe Biden in 1972 and was also sleeping with him, according to her ex-husband. Now, 1972 is the same year his first wife, Nellie, suspiciously died in a car crash with Biden's newborn daughter that Joe Biden falsely attributed. Oh, she puts it on the next one. Joe Biden lied and said a truck driver involved in the crash was drunk. And driver wasn't drunk. And to this day, he still says it's a drunk driver.
Yeah.
To this day, he brought up Uncle Brosie again. Again brought up Uncle Brosie. The driver wasn't drunk. It was a way to distract from the fact that Biden's wife was driving distressed because she likely knew her husband was cheating on her shortly after having his baby. The Biden family is the most dysfunctional family in America. Absolutely true. And then passed off by the cuck boy media as Scranton Joe and Workaday Joe, an honest Joe. And Donald Trump always gets, all of his past indiscretions, which I acknowledge.
Yeah.
I don't acknowledge the Stormy thing because Stormy said it never happened.
Yep.
Swore that it never happened. But, and we know Donald Trump has past indiscretions and many ex-wives. I know that. But Joe, and Donald Trump doesn't hide from it. He doesn't say I was never divorced or I never cheated on my wife.
Right.
But Joe is put out as the American dream. After his wife tragically died in a crash, him and Jill met on a blind date. He was sleeping with Jill when his wife got killed in that crash. All right, let's go to the next one. House of Representatives pick. House passes. This is weird, guys. Did anybody want this? Look at the date now, June 14th, 2024. Kind of weird that they've added 2 years on to selective service. That's weird. It used to be 18 to 24, and now without asking us if this is what we wanted, House passes bill, which means that's Republicans that passed it. Is that okay with you? Nobody asked me. Nobody told me this was coming up. We'll find the list who voted for it. They didn't come out yet because it just basically came out today. House passes defense bill automatically registering men 18 to 26. So I want to know how they're automatically registered. Are they automatically registered off of their social media accounts or something else? A selective service. The selective service is already mandatory. You know, people try to denigrate the importance of it. It's already mandatory. No, they just added 2 years to it without telling anybody.
Right.
Anybody? When did this come out that they were thinking of it? When now Congress just got back from vacation. When they were doing their community meetings, did they tell people that they were about to add 2 years to selective service? When we're on the verge of a nuclear war in Ukraine, a nuclear war in Taiwan, nuclear war in Israel. Did they tell anybody that or ask our opinion? No. Let's go to the next one, Will. Leading report tweet. Breaking. That's not the only thing that Republicans are on about doing. And you're like, Tom, aren't you a Republican? Yeah, but I believe most Republicans are Democrats.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, I know most Republicans are Democrats.
Yeah.
And the ones that aren't truly and completely Democrats are spineless worm, coward Republicans who are only concerned about the ramifications of whatever they vote for, not the righteousness of what they vote for. Breaking, U.S. Senate Armed Services Committee intends to require women to register for selective service as part of the National Defense Authorization Act of fiscal year 2025. Anybody get asked about that? So now women are going to have to register for selective service right when we're on the verge of all of these wars. So now they're going to send our daughters over there to die in wars that don't benefit us at all. How have you benefited from any war? I'm just curious.
Nope.
You're like, yeah, Tom, but what about WW1, WW2? Folks, you need to look into those wars.
Yep.
Listen, all of our military men in those wars are heroes. I'm sitting next to a combat freaking veteran right here, 10 foot to my right. Combat hero, right here, a Marine of Marines, all right? He's a hero. But if Will actually knew what he was going over to fight for, okay, and he knew about exactly what was controlling the military-industrial complex and what controls our military, a lot of people, I'm not going to speak for Will, he can speak for himself, but a lot of people, this is why nobody's registering. That's why recruitment levels are at 40-year lows right now in our country. And that's why they're doing this right now, because they can't recruit anybody. So just in case, they're going to up Secret Service age to 26, add another 2 years to it, and then they're going to make women register for Selective Service because they can't recruit anybody, because men in the South are not going to go into an army. I'll make an even easier argument. Parents in the South are not going to tell their daughters to join the Army when the Army's general order manual has prerequisites about how to shower with a fully penis female. That's in their general orders manual. People aren't going to sign up for the Army with that stuff, not to mention the ridiculous wars that we have no interest in, Slavic conflicts that have been going on for centuries,
yeah,
for 1,000 years between Russia and Ukraine. We have between one dictator fighting another dictator. Why would we send American troops over there? To cover for Democratic Party malfeasance while Joe Biden snuggles with his adulterous affair, Jill, and why Mike Obama snuggles with Hussein Obama.
Yep.
And we go over and cast our blood into the soil for what purpose? So that their NGOs get fed with military industrial complex money that gets funneled back to them and their various organizations. And you're like, Tom, nobody could live with that sort of murder. The people who just forced 5.2 billion people to take an experimental mRNA vaccination. And now we have 30 million excess deaths. Those people can't live with having American soldiers die for their own personal financial interest. Yes, they do. That's who Liz Cheney is. That's who Dick Cheney is. That's who George W. Bush is.
Yeah.
That's who these demonic people are. That's who Mike Pence is. That's who Lindsey Graham is, who Mitch McConnell is. They spill your kids' blood to line their own filthy pockets. Where's the next war? Notice how the only guy who doesn't start a new war is a guy who's non-politically rich. A guy who walked into the Oval Office worth $4 billion. He didn't need to make himself rich. But the people who want to have their pockets lined by the military-industrial complex are the ones who endlessly start wars. That's who Nikki Haley is. She'll kill your kids to get a $1 million contract for herself.
Yep.
You need to look at how World War I started, how World War II started. You need to know that our own military was warned a week in advance about Pearl Harbor and did nothing.
Yep.
Could have scrambled the fleet out of Pearl Harbor. Did they do it? No, because they wanted us to be in that war.
Exactly.
You're like, Tom, you're denigrating the lives of those of the lost lives and these. No, I'm not. The men at Pearl Harbor were warriors. They were heroes. They didn't know the corruption of their own government.
Yeah.
That would happily kill them to feed their own personal benefactors. You are welcome, everybody. There you go. Let's go to the next one. Donald Trump tweet. I love these side by sides. Inflation at same point in presidency. And I know, listen, before I even talk about this, I know a lot of people want to live in delusion. I sat and watched our viewers go down while I was talking about it. Oh, off this guy's office rock. Everyone wants to believe in the mirage. We've been lied to. We have not been a constitutional republic for 100 years, folks. Slowly withering on the vine. It's time for us to resuscitate this constitutional republic and get out of all these useless wars. Inflation at the same point in presidency. Here's Donald Trump versus Biden. So inflation, energy inflation under Trump, 0%. That's pretty good. Under Joe Biden, 38%. Gasoline, minus 2% under Trump. Now remember, this is at the same point. This is post-COVID. This is Donald Trump in June of 2020. Same point in the presidency. So 3.5 years into his presidency. Energy, 3% up under Trump. 30% up under Biden. Natural gas, 1.9%. Overall inflation when Trump left office was 1.9%. And Joe Biden went as high as 9%. Natural gas under Donald Trump, it was up minus 1.9%. Up 27% under Joe Biden. Groceries up 3% under Biden. Up 21% up 3% under Trump. Up 21% under Biden. Eggs were minus 3% under Trump. Up 50% under Biden. Milk up 2% under Trump. Up 15% under Biden. Up 3% under Trump. Up 23% under Biden. Transportation up 2% under Biden. Up 32%. Airfare went down 13% under Trump. Up 32% under Biden. Public transportation down 8% under Trump. Up 22% under Biden. Used car rentals, 2% up under Trump. Up 20% under Biden. Apparel, up 0.6% under Trump. Up 13% under Biden. Just so everybody knows what the true statistics are, because those are the true statistics. Let me give you 60 seconds under for my one and only sponsor, Midas Gold Group. All of us, literally 60 seconds, and we're going to finish with a flurry. My one and only sponsor, Midas Gold Group. Why do I love Midas? It's not because they sponsor me. I love them because of who they are. They are a MAGA-owned company. They are a veteran-owned company. We need to be buying our goods and services whenever possible from companies that don't hate us. We need to have a parallel economy. We need to be buying from companies that don't hate us. And Midas Gold Group, the great thing about them, as we see the de-dollarization of the globe, the devalue of the USD, the BRICS movement, and in the BRICS movement, they're trying to get rid of the dollar and switch to the Chinese yuan. That's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And they're trying to recruit other countries as we speak. They're trying to de-dollarize the globe and devalue the USD. You just saw Saudi Arabia go off of the US dollar for the first time. They refused to sign the petrodollar contract, which is the USD contract, which they've been under for 70 years. And under Joe Biden, it's gone. Gone in 3 years. At 67 years without Biden, we had the petrodollar in place. In just 3 years, we lose the petrodollar account with Saudi Arabia, which means Saudi Arabia used to do all their deals with the USD.
Yep.
And no longer. Now they're going to do them in the yuan and numerous other currencies. It only took Joe Biden 3 years to destroy the petrodollar. But while these countries are doing this, and while you have the BRICS movement doing this, they are storing and buying hundreds of tons of gold, and so is our own government, which is trying to devalue our own currency via printing currency and hyperinflation. Buy gold. Buy it now, because the people who are just trying to destroy the currency are buying gold. So if they succeed in destroying the currency, gold becomes the currency. We're not going to let them succeed. But buy gold. Buy it now. And when you do, tell them that the TLP sent you. Buy it from Midas. Buy it from Midas Gold. And when you do, tell them that the TLP sent you. All right, go to the next one for me, Will. Wall Street Silver tweet. You're going to finish with a six-minute flurry, everybody. Argentina's inflation rate has now fallen 5 months in a row. Wow. Javier Milei was sworn in, the Trump Republican, MAGA Republican, but it's Argentina, but it still works. MAGA still works. Make Argentina great again.
Yeah, there you go.
Was sworn in December 10th, 2023, and has 5 months of the inflation going down. Now, down from 25.5%. They had inflation. Their inflation was 25%. Now Crazy. It's down to 4%. How did Argentina's President Milei do it? Go to the next one, Will. Here it is. This is how you do it. Peter St. Ange will tell you. Cutting government spending fixes the following. Inflation, taxes, national debt, deindustrialization, jobs, falling wages, and gets rid of wars, which is why they never do it. Because the people who are in control want those things. Vigilant Fox video, vax injured, pharmacist breaks down into tears testifying before Ohio State Senate. Just so people know, there are real people out there whose lives have been destroyed by the mRNA vaccine. You and I are the same. I watch Bannon. I watch Bongino. I watch Alex Jones. I know what the stats are, but this brings it home. Play for me, Will.
Thank you for hearing my support testimony for HB319. I wish to have the Lord allow me to impact souls with my words. I was a father, a husband, a pharmacist, and healthy person prior to being coerced into receiving the COVID vaccine. I understood that attending my daughter's volleyball game would require the vaccine. As a doctor of pharmacy, I had negative opinions about COVID prevention. I would never have taken the vaccine voluntarily. My last healthy memories involve enjoying Christmas time with my family. The next memory I have is awakening in the ICU at Ohio State University, completely paralyzed and unable to speak or even close my mouth due to the ventilator. Communication involved a cut laser, which was taped to a hat and an alphabet board. My family informed me that I had tested positive that Christmas for COVID. Impossible, as I had been mandated to take the very safe and also effective vaccine.
So this guy got it from every angle. So not only did he get COVID after he was vaccinated, after he told him that it would stop transmission infection, which was a bold-faced lie. And then you have these condescending, arrogant politicians like Rishi Sunak, Prime Minister of Great Britain, come up and say, I know the vaccine. Because he was mocking Andrew Briggan, who has come out about all the excess deaths inside of Great Britain. Rishi Sunak, facing all these unexplained tens of thousands of excess deaths, Rishi Sunak contradicts his testimony by coming up and saying, I know that the vaccine is safe and effective. Go talk to that guy, Rishi. Where did all this money go? Colin Rugg video. Atlanta prosecutor who is shown on a podcast talking about integrity has been jailed for seven years for stealing $15 million in COVID relief funds. Play for me, Will.
I choose integrity and whatever else it brings. I don't choose selling your soul to the devil.
What part makes it selling your soul?
Because that means I'm willing to do anything, belittle myself and degrade myself for the love of what? Of a dollar. I'm not going to do it. My integrity, what my kids and how my kids respect me and view me means more to me than me earning a quick dollar portraying to be something that I'm not. Or they may well be that way. That might be true. What she's singing about may have just happened. I don't know. I'm not there to judge. I don't care. But I'm not willing to put that thought out there.
Feeding our future scheme. Farah is accused of pocketing $8 million himself to buy property and vehicles. He was the co-owner of Empire Cuisine in Shakopee, which is at the center of the trial involving seven defendants, accused of taking $49 million in all while claiming to serve 18 million meals to children in need during the pandemic. FBI agents raided Farah's home while investigating the source of a $120,000 bribe offered to a juror Sunday night. A family member of the juror reported a Somali woman dropping off the bag of cash, referring to the juror by name and saying there will be more cash if the juror votes not guilty. Only the lawyers and defendants had access to the jurors' names. Judge Nancy Brazel ordered the defendants to turn over their phones and had them all arrested. Prior to Monday, all of them were out of custody, but will be held in jail at least until there is a verdict. Former U.S.
What's up with these Atlanta prosecutors? You got Fannie Willis who gives $700,000 to her boyfriend. We have that that happened. And then, and by the way, that $700,000 that went to Nathan Wade was COVID funds, just so everybody knows. And that another Atlanta prosecutor, she gets caught stealing $15 million worth of COVID funds. Somali migrants in Minnesota stealing $40 million worth of COVID funds. You wonder why it never came to you? And go to that last one for me, Will. Transgender who killed six people at Nashville School, Covenant School, bought the guns through federal grant money. If you're ever wondering why your government never does anything for you, that's what they're funding. Listen, join me tomorrow at Foundation Church. I'll start preaching around 11. Aaron comes on at about 10:15. Join us. Love you all. God bless you. See you tomorrow morning. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses, how does salt lose its flavor? It doesn't say what it's supposed to say and do what it's supposed to do. What does salt do? It's an adjutant. But if the salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing. We're supposed to be the healers. Those that bring light into darkness. You bring light into darkness, it's irritating. It's agitating. That's what you're supposed to be. And not in some weird way. With the gospel. The darkness is comforting. You sleep in the dark. It's comforting. It's comforting to tell dead people, you know, you're dying people. You're going to, you know what? You're always going to be a cancer patient. You know, it's just the way that it's somewhat comforting. I see people give into it all the time. It's comforting for them. They can officially give up. That's not your job. You bring the light. If that agitates them, oh, man, I can't. Fine. You're their only hope.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to TomLipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.